They may come here, she said again and again. I pressed her to take wine and tried to reassure her. They can scarcely move, I said. I began to comfort her and myself by repeating all that Ogilvy had told me of the impossibility of the Martians establishing themselves on the Earth. In particular, I laid stress on the gravitational difficulty. On the surface of the Earth, the force of gravity is 3 times what it is on the surface of Mars. A Martian, therefore, would weigh 3 times more than on Mars, albeit his muscular strength would be the same. His own body would be a cape of lead to him. That, indeed, was the general opinion. Both the Times and the Daily Telegraph, for instance, insisted on it the next morning, and both overlooked, just as I did, 2 obvious modifying influences. The atmosphere of the Earth, we now know, contains far more oxygen, or far less argon, whichever way one likes to put it, than does Mars. The invigorating influences of this excess of oxygen upon the Martians indisputably did much to counterbalance the increased weight of their bodies. And in the second place, we all overlooked the fact that such mechanical intelligence as the Martians possessed was quite able to dispense with muscular exertion at a pinch. But I did not consider these points at the time, and so my reasoning was dead against the chances of the invaders. With wine and food, confidence of my own table, and the necessity of reassuring my wife, I grew by insensible degrees courageous and secure. They have done a foolish thing, said I, fingering my wine glass. They are dangerous because no doubt they are mad with terror. Perhaps they expected to find no living things, certainly no intelligent living things. A shell in the pit, said I, if the worst comes to the worst, will kill them all. The intense excitement of the events had no doubt left my perceptive powers in a state of erethism. I remember that dinner table with extraordinary vividness even now. My dear wife's sweet, anxious face peering at me from under the pink lampshade, the white cloth with its silver and glass table furniture. For in those days even philosophical writers had many little luxuries. The crimson-purple wine in my glass, are photographically distinct. At the end of it, I sat, tempering nuts with a cigarette, regretting Ogilvy's rashness and denouncing the short-sighted timidity of the Martians. So some respectable dodo in the Mauritius might have lauded it in his nest and discussed the arrival of that ship full of pitiless sailors in want of animal food. We will peck them to death tomorrow, my dear. I did not know it. But that was the last civilized dinner I was to eat for very many strange and terrible days.